Well, hey there, folks. I am Dave Holmes. Welcome to Troubled Waters, the show that treats popular culture as the most important kind of culture because it's keeping you alive right now. Now, in the before times, Troubled Waters would pit two teams of comedians against each other in a pop culture battle royale. But now we're basically living in a apocalypse prepper's paradise. Everyone on the show is recording from their respective bunkers. So we're mixing things up a bit to keep things simple so that our producer, Christian, can have a life that doesn't involve explaining mic setup in QuickTime to people. So to win this battle, each comic will be called upon to use their smarts, their rhetorical skills, maybe the university degrees they're still paying off. Probably not, because they don't live here. Or we have to do that nonsense to earn the coveted Troubled Waters title, Pundit Emeritus. The Pundit Emeritus title automatically gives a person's opinion on, let's say, whether Carol Baskin absolutely murdered her husband more weight than a civilian's. We'll get into that. You're listening to Troubled Waters. Now, today we are connecting to our comics via Google Hangouts, and everybody's home studios look pretty cozy. One of our contestants is in a tent. We'll address that in a moment. We're taking advantage of the fact that we are not meeting in studio to say hello to a few friends of ours from across the pond where it is nighttime. Our first contestant is the host of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast here on Maximum Fun. You know him. You love him. He's Ben Partridge.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Given the circumstances, I'm fine. As you mentioned, I'm in a little tent that I've created out of a slightly smelly duvet in a kind of my girlfriend's wardrobe. And it's like a little inner sanctum which no one else can come into and hopefully will give you lovely echo-free sound.
What are you soothing your soul with during this time of quarantine? Are you binging? What are you doing?
I'm binging chocolate eggs. I don't know what you guys do over Easter in America, but we've got this thing called the cream egg. Are you aware of the cream egg?
Yeah, we have that.
Oh my God.
We have that.
Yeah, they've become a real crutch.
What is the cream in cream eggs?
The cream in cream eggs is a sort of lovely confection made by, I think, elves or fairies or some kind of Sylvanian kind of woodland creature, and the actual recipe is very secret. But and Sarah will know this, America has ruined the cream egg because
the cream egg, we do that.
The cream egg used to be very, very nice indeed, and then a company called Kraft, who you'll be well aware of, bought Cadbury's, and they said their big pledge is we're not going to change the flavor of the chocolate, and then they did.
Yeah, that's America for you. I'm sorry about it.
They changed all Cadbury's chocolate into cream cheese, into the Kraft cream cheese. It all tastes like Kraft cream cheese now.
What's a Kraft dinner? That's a thing people talk about, right?
That is more of a Canadian thing, but I believe that is Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which I will hear no sass about Kraft macaroni and cheese.
So is Kraft a Canadian company?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. It's just, they just call it something different up there.
Okay, okay.
Our second contestant is the former head writer of International Waters and a good friend of the show.
Oh, hi, guys.
Miss Sarah Morgan, how are you?
Hi, I'm sorry. I've just been interrupting all the way through this. You'll probably edit this out. But
no, that's totally fine.
I'm just excited.
Listen, we're
to talk
starved
to...
for human content.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited. There's like three grown-ups in front of me. Mm-hmm. It's the best. Hi.
So how are you getting through it, Sarah?
Well, I was going to say all the like the sort of slightly smug things like gardening. I'm very into gardening. I'm growing tomatoes, binge watching The Simpsons with my daughter. But then Ben mentioned cream eggs, and I literally just opened a drawer next to me, didn't even have to move my seat, and pulled out my stash of Cadbury's cream eggs.
Your stash of Cadbury cream eggs like a pair of junkies.
Yeah, they are. Even though they are made by Kraft, they are delicious. And they sort of have like a frenulum inside them that you lick the cream out of, and they're absolutely filthy.
Frenulum?
Yeah, I've mainly been eating those.
I've been waiting for the word frenulum to be used on this
yeah.
show.
Yeah, they are.
I don't think mine,
the wait is over.
I don't think mine have frenulums inside them. I think you've got some...
You know the seam? You know, like the seam in there is also the seam in some testicles, but not all of them.
yeah,
cream
yeah,
eggs
I know what you're
have a
about.
Seam inside them.
Yeah, they do have a bit of a seam. Yeah, yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
And that I, yeah. The French surely is the term. I'm just lowering the tone as I have my yes. That's how I've been coping. That you, and supporting local beer companies. Is not how great. I've been coping. Yeah, there's a lot of breweries in Tottenham and I'm slowly drinking my way through all of their stockpile.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I am, because it's early in the day, having coffee in, and I didn't even do this on purpose, in my Coronation Street mug.
Lovely. Whoa. Are you still watching Corey?
You know, we've fallen off a little bit and then I do check in on the mirror just to make sure that I'm up with the storylines and whatever. And I saw, spoiler alert,
sure.
that they have killed Eccles.
The dog. Oh my God.
The dog. They've already done the God. You know, the tribute montage and everything.
Can't they just send him upstairs to listen to tapes like they did with Tracy? She went upstairs
exactly.
to listen to tapes
exactly.
and came down 10 years later. No one mind. It was fine.
Exactly. Poor Tommy Duckworth got caught on camera doing violent raps and he vanished in the middle of a scene.
Yeah. They took all the men out at one point when Me Too was happening and it was great. Just the women.
Yeah.
And then obviously the dog will go on to what you do after you leave Coronation Street, which is pantomimes.
Oh, I guess that's
church.
True. They're trying to make panto happen in the States, by the way.
No way.
A theater in Pasadena, at Christmas time that puts them up. It's not quite taking on yet. But we wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, let's make panto happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And honestly, that could be the point that you are fighting for this week, because now that we have said hello to our players... It's time to see who has the better grasp of what matters this week in the world of popular culture. So, players, you will each be given a chance to tell me what you think is the most important or tragically overlooked story or person or event of the past week or two. And please know, if it's political, if it has any real news value, if it is about coronavirus, save it for Twitter. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. Just make a case. I'll have some follow-up questions. You'll have an opportunity to tell me why your story or take should prevail over your opponent's. Do you understand? You understand. Sarah, we'll have you go first.
Oh, God. I'm going to say the fitness marshal. Big fan of the fitness marshal. Does anyone
know? I don't know what that is.
The fitness marshal is a man on YouTube who is very enthusiastic and does dance routines to pop songs that are of interest to gay men and seven-year-old girls. It's a lot of Lizzo.
Our interest so often
is. Oh, I mean, you know, Disney Plus is essentially 7 year olds and gay men.
The collected works of David DeCoteau. they're not as we're not as different as we like to think. Girls Aloud.
Yeah, exactly. So all that sort of music, your Lizzo's, your Demi, your Billie Eilish's, your Lady Gaga's, a very enthusiastic young man called Something Marshall, hence the name of the Fitness Marshall, does dancing in a small part of LA that looks like a sort of hiking trail. So you get like hikers behind him and he'll do a sort of quite complicated dance routine Good as Hell that leaves you feeling sort of alive afterwards and worthwhile. So he's been making me very happy in these troubled times.
All right, so this song is all about enjoying life when you ain't got no money. So if you feel that message right now, I want you to dance from your soul.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl.
We're gonna start
it, girl.
This.
Put the
right
bang.
Go down,
bounce with
down,
it, girl.
Up,
dance with
up,
it, girl.
Down,
get with
down.
It, girl.
I'll take it. Benjamin?
I guess my favourite little sort of celebrity news thing, I think it's maybe from a couple of weeks ago, actually, but it was from the period of the coronavirus shenanigan where it was before the lockdown, but things were beginning to feel a little bit dicey. And you may be aware of the Australian / Greek / British pop star Peter Andre.
Vaguely. I know he's done a lot of push-ups.
Oh yeah, he's done a lot of push-ups. He had a one-hit wonder. He's a bit of a one-hit wonder. He had a big hit in Britain called Mysterious Girl.
Oh, mysterious
He then went in the jungle, the Celebrity Jungle show, where he claimed to have written a song while he was on the show called Insania. Around the campfire, he just came up with it. But then as soon as he left the jungle, it was recorded and ready to release, which was an incredible little story of him having to like try and seed the idea that he'd come up with the single Insania during the show. Anyway, before it all went into lockdown, he was the first celebrity to take it seriously. And I thought it was great because he did a gig in Southampton and there was a huge poster when he got there that said, due to recent cases of coronavirus, please do not have any physical contact with Peter Andre. Please do not take any selfies with Peter Andre. Apologies for any inconvenience. Thank you. And people were annoyed about that because they went to see Peter Andre. And when you go and see Peter Andre, a big part of the experience, I think, is touching those washboard abs, you know?
Yeah, that's why sweaty shirtlessness.
Exactly.
Assuming a sweaty shirtless selfie.
Exactly. So that's probably a big part
if you're a fan, yeah.
And fans were up in arms about it. And then he replied to it saying, no, that's fake news. In fact, I hugged everyone who came to the concert, which looking back now from our lockdown vantage point just seems like a terrible decision.
Peter Andre has died.
Yeah.
He's a super spreader.
What I love about it so far is due to the spread of coronavirus, please adhere to physical distancing while you're at this show. Protect yourselves and each other. But I like that the sign was, please protect Peter Andre.
Oh, yeah.
From coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our national treasure, Peter Andre.
It reminds me of every New Year's Eve, the BBC shows a concert by a different artist going up to midnight. And a couple of years ago, it was Robbie Williams, who was formerly of the boy band Take That. And
you don't need to tell me who Robbie Williams is.
Sure, but maybe some of the listeners aren't aware of this cultural.
Some of his wrote his Christmas special this year.
If they got through the Panto talk, they got it.
There's a great bit where he went down to the audience, to the crowd, and put his hand out like they do, so people can kind of touch his hand, and all the sort of middle-aged women were going absolutely nuts. And then the camera caught him just in like the seconds it took for him to walk from the crowd back up to the stage. He, like, with amazing sleight of hand, like kind of Penn and Teller, got out some hand sanitizer and really quickly rubbed his hands before he went back to the mic. And it was this incredibly, like, well choreographed bit of movement. Incredible stuff. So he was well ahead of all of us.
He's magic.
Yeah.
That Robbie Williams. All right. Two solid stories.
Not really
Ben Partridge is playing for Peter Andre. Sarah Morgan is playing for Fitness Marshall.
Fitness Marshall. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So Peter Andre versus Fitness Marshall. Those are your buzzing words. Keep them ready as we move forward. Let's get it going with a game we are calling Indoor Kids Culture Club. Now, one of the few positive things about us all basically being grounded is that we finally have a chance to dive into a lot of the pop culture stuff, the peak television, the film experiences, perhaps the books, please, that we missed out on when they were new or when we were supposed to read them for school. Think of all the Netflix shows that stopped being relevant the week after everyone binged them. I'm going to list a few things that I'm looking for. I will let both players get a chance to give me a quick elevator pitch, a recommendation. Whoever makes the most compelling pitch will win a point. Okay? So we'll start with some light reading. What's a fun, engaging book? Something enjoyable that one of our listeners can read once, of course, they have finished my memoir, Party of One, which is available on Amazon now.
Ah, oh, damn, I was going to say that. Love the chapter on a Stockard Channing. Yeah, I win already.
That would have been good.
Yeah. I'll go for reread.
The chapter on which?
On Stockard Channing. There are worse things I can
do. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Did you? Yeah.
Thank you.
You love your own chapter. I love Americans. yeah, that's a great chapter. Yeah, it's a really good one. I'm going to say reread Tales of the City. If you've not reread Tales of the City for a while, or Armistead Maupin's other books, Night Listener or Maybe the Moon, I've just reread those.
I have only read his Tales of the City books. I've never read any other thing that he's done.
Night Listener,
none of it.
Oh, Night Listener and Maybe the Moon are both beautiful. Oh, they're so good. Maybe the Moon is a fictionalized version of the woman who was inside the costume of E.T. She was a little person. And there was genuinely a little woman inside E.T. in the film, and he did a fictionalized version because they were friends in real life, the actress, and I did a fictionalized version of her life, and it's stunning.
I like it. I love the Tales of the City books. Mm. Did you get into the Netflix reboot?
It was well-intentioned, and I probably should finish watching it.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Damning.
It was. Benjamin? books?
There's never been a better time to read a little book. Well, actually, it's a series of books called The Bible.
Oh, I'm listening.
You may think you're having a miserable time locked in your own flat, but have you been turned into a pillar of salt? No. Are you being forced to sacrifice your own son? No. Are you having to cater for a party of 3,000 with only 2 fishes and 5 loaves? No, nightmare. So it's a good way of feeling like someone else had it worse.
Wow. Okay, you know what? You've made a decent point for the Bible. Point to you, Benjamin Partridge. Now, okay, let's talk peak TV.
Okay.
We're in the golden age of television, which means there's so goddamn much of it that nobody can watch it all. What's a good peak TV series that you think someone should binge now that they have the time? Sarah?
Nailed it.
What's okay. Nailed it?
Nailed it. It's a show about baking, but unlike the British baking show where people have competence, it's the same level of enthusiasm, but it's people who genuinely don't know how to bake, but really try very hard. And everyone's incredibly encouraging. And you get a lot of UCB comics on as guest judges. And it's so similar every single episode that you can sort of go into a coma while you're watching it because it's exactly the same structure. It's like, here's a really complicated biscuit, make it. They fail. Everyone laughs and is supportive. Then here's a bigger cake, make that. They make it, everyone's supportive. It's lovely and literally made of icing.
Wow, we need that.
Yeah.
Benjamin?
You could do what I've been doing, which is I'd never seen The Sopranos before because it was slightly before my time, just about. So I've sort of gone back to watch The Sopranos and it's great fun, isn't it? It's great fun. But it's making me think that when it first came out, I guess you would have been around at this time, maybe even watching The Sopranos. People who were really into The Sopranos must have been really, really insufferable.
Yes.
Like there must have been like a generation of people. Like I've got to stop myself at all times doing a kind of Italian-American accent for fun. Just at all times, that's that's in the back of my mind. So I would recommend it. But it must have been awful. It must have been quite a bad time.
It was.
Yeah.
I lived through it in New York City, and I'm here to tell you it was absolutely traumatic. A lot of people suddenly saying like gabagool as though they had been saying it their whole lives.
Also, what is gabagool?
it's spelled out as capicola or capicola or whatever. It's like it's a kind of meat or cheese or something. I don't know. It's food.
Yeah.
It's probably some sort of ham.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a million people saying, you know, Stugatz and shit. It really drove me crazy.
Yeah.
And for that reason, point to Sarah.
No, but I think it's now like a sort of safe space to watch it now without the kind of terminal velocity of everyone watching it so that it just feels awful, you know?
Yeah, there's no one to annoy you. You just watch it.
Exactly.
And then you go to bed.
Exactly.
In your own home.
You can walk around your flat in a t-shirt from it, like a, what's it called? A Bada Bing t-shirt and a Bada Bing key ring.
Oh,
and just be that guy in your own house. Oh, everyone had t-shirts and hats and key rings, like sort of missing the point of...
See, I missed all this the first time around.
Arguing about the ending. Yeah. Was it good? Was it bad? Oh, Ben, do you need to, if you need to have a was the ending good conversation with, I'm in.
Well, that's I haven't got there yet.
So, it doesn't end. There's no ending. Nothing. Nope. It never ended.
Yeah, you're not actually wrong.
Yeah.
I hope he finally gets the perfect bit of gabagool and he just eats it and dies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say no more.
Okay.
What about a really good trashy movie? Just something purely escapist.
I don't think I wouldn't call it trashy, but I've been watching, I've really been enjoying musicals because they're good. And I had never seen Sweet Charity, even though obviously all the songs from it are in my brain. So that's a really good watch. Shirley MacLaine is wonderful. It's got lots of weird 60s effects that I didn't realize. It's got Hey Big Spender in it. So yeah.
The way that you started that, I wouldn't call it trashy, but I wanted so badly for you to say, Schindler's List. But you didn't. You zigged when I thought you were going to zag, and you went Sweet Charity.
What happens in Sweet Charity?
Shirley MacLaine is a kind of thirsty, harness sleeve girl who just desperately wants to fall in love in the 60s, which should be quite annoying, but she's so like just an open wound of a person. It's hypnotic, and she has a one night stand with a famous man and just makes him, and every time she just thinks she's going to fall in love. It's basically she just wants to fall in love, and it's so utterly shameless for that. It's lovely. I mean, she works in like a thing that I don't, did it, was this ever a thing in America, like a tango bar in Times Square, where men would pay money to go and dance with women? And obviously the implication is there's more going on than dancing, but it's effectively men would pay to go and sort of do close quarter tangoing with a lot of bored women who look a bit Moulin Rouge-y. And but she was very ashamed of it, and her shame was that she worked in this place, well, hoping to meet her husband. But it's very uplifting.
Those places must have existed, because they're referred to in so much other popular culture. Yeah. Must have existed. And they must not have just been brothels. Christian, it has to have been something in between.
Christian Drainis has popped up saying taxi dancers.
Taxi dancers.
I mean, if that's what they're called,
that's what they would be called.
Because that's a job I probably would have done in my 20s. Sounds, if it's just tangoing, seems like a laugh. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Also famously referred to in Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield video.
Really?
Are they called taxi dancers because all they'll talk about is immigration?
When are they going to get Brexit done? That's what I want to know.
Partridge, what is your trashy movie recommendation?
I've not actually watched a movie this entire time because I've been 100% immersed in the world of New Jersey.
But what's your go-to?
My go-to... Well, I'm one of those people that never watches films twice, I'm afraid. I think I've maybe watched two films twice in my life, which I know is really weird.
And what are they?
I've seen Jurassic Park twice, definitely. I've seen Little Shop of Horrors twice.
I mean, if you're going to see one film twice.
But maybe that's it. Like, I'm not a big film re-watcher because I sort of feel like you should just watch a new one. I know it's not a defendable point of view. Maybe Little Shop of Horrors is a good one to go for.
It's never a bad film to go.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's pretty good.
I went to take some shopping to my parents' house the other day, and obviously I couldn't speak to them. I had to leave the shopping on their front door. And then I sort of stood back about 20 feet, and then we had a little conversation. I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, we're just watching a film on the television." And I said, "What is it?" And they'd put on a film called Inferno, which is set during the plague. Such a bad choice of film from ITV,
well, like,
or it was.
The Fire of London, The Plague and The Fire of London.
Yeah.
But if you go on Netflix, it's like the number one trending film is something about pandemics. People are nuts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to escape this moment. Also, I think it's really interesting that Rick Moranis decided to rejoin the world and then the world shut down.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
But they're doing a reboot, aren't they? Which just sounds, who's it? There's someone controversial. There's controversial people in it. I got very upset that a sexy man, because I thought he was going to play Rick Moranis' part, but he's not. He's playing the dentist, who should be played by a sexy man. He's played by Steve Martin in the film and therefore is a sexy man.
Yeah. It's Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. I knew it was one of the Chris's. I couldn't remember which one. Yes. But that's fine. He should be a sexy character. I strong feelings on this subject, but the dentist should be a sexy character. Otherwise, it means that Audrey's an idiot, and Audrey's not an idiot.
Who's playing...
She's not an idiot.
No.
Who's playing Rick Moranis? Is it Barack Obama?
Yes, it's Barack.
It should be Barack Obama.
Yeah.
We need to find a new project for that man.
I thought he was going to be making like Netflix programs, but I've not seen any of them.
He did. He had. Oh, Taron Egerton is rumored to play the Rick Moranis role, says Christian Duenas.
Interesting.
The first Barack and Michelle Obama documentary is up on Netflix. It's called Crip Camp. I haven't watched it yet.
Is he behind Tiger King?
He is not behind Tiger King, thank goodness. Solid answers from the both of you. You are both wrong. Unfortunately, the trashy movie to watch during lockdown is Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield. What about music? What music will pull me out of this particular horrifying cultural moment?
I'm mostly listening to a radio station we have in the UK called Absolute Radio Rock, which is essentially dad music. Ooh. Yeah, it's dad music all day, every day.
Are you also washing your car?
It's sort of like driving music, but obviously you can't drive anywhere at the moment. But it's not what you'd call rock. It's like just sort of power ballads. I'm just pulling up there. Yeah, well, like Wind of Change, Dire Straits,
okay.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. What,
I'm
looking at their
again?
Most recent. It's called Absolute Radio Rock. And it's
Alexa, play
just...
Absolute Radio Rock.
I can't find the station Absolute Radio.
Well, Alexa can't find it.
Oh, it will. It's
thanks for trying. Sorry, Alexa's still talking to me about the new skills. That's great. I'm not going to need it. It's Absolute Radio Rock. I can't find it, but it sounds great.
It's terrific.
Sounds like you get your walk of life from Dire Straits.
Oh.
6 times a day.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of right. Love is a battlefield. Yeah, it's a lot of it's music that you can make an overbite and make a power fist like you're on Henman Hill.
It.
While you're listening to it, it really you get some feelings out, and you're not sure what. Tim Henman, tennis player, and when people go along to support him, they sit on a place called Henman Hill, where you can see down into Wimbledon without having to buy Wimbledon tickets, and they shout, "Come on, Tim!" Gotcha. And they do a Henman fist. Love it's it. Very white.
Love it.
Yeah,
Benjamin.
My tip is something that I don't normally listen to, but for some reason, something about the specific chemistry of the world of lockdown. Had me reaching for this song. I hadn't listened to it maybe for 5 years. And then this.
Are you going to play it?
I'm going to play it.
Ooh. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you.
I think I'm missing weather, maybe.
Ben,
maybe.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Neil Finn is a personal hero. 5 points to you for that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well done. At the end of that round, the scores are as follows. Christian is got his head down furiously doing mathematics. Okay. Peter Andre's got 6. Fitness yes. Marshall has 2. I like saying things that way. All right. Now, it's time for a round we are calling What Hasn't Stephen King Written? Now, according to his Wikipedia page, Stephen King is known as the King of Horror. Although I don't know why they decided on that when the Stephen of Horror is sitting right there. But anyway, he is not just limited to horror. He's written fantasy. He's written historical fiction. He's written post-apocalyptic tales of a world ravaged by disease. Interesting. You might as well just ask, what hasn't Stephen King written? And in this round, that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a description of a book Stephen King hasn't written, and you are going to guess the title. So let's just go through how it'll work. I would say something like, in this book, a town historically associated with witch trials is terrorized by a millionaire's demon boat. The answer would be?
Salem's Yacht.
Salem's Yacht. That's exactly correct. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Okay. So it's homonyms for Stephen King books. And yeah, okay.
Yes.
Good, got it. Great.
Just so you know, I know 0 of those. But this is, I'm
okay.
But I think this means that when I do get one right, it's going to be all the more impressive.
Yeah.
It
Well, we'll see what happens. Question number 1. In this book, we follow Danny Torrance as he grows up and tries to overcome his trauma at the Overlook Hotel, all while studying at medical school and trying to become a herd animal that produces wool.
Dr. Sheep? Oh, sorry, do I have to...
Dr. Sheep is
Do cool. I have to buzz in?
You should buzz in. I mean, yeah, you should buzz in. Okay, so you get it. You get it. Point two.
These are the titles of Goosebumps books, right?
Yeah.
No. Stephen King books.
Right, okay.
Number 2. In this book, a group of children get terrorized by a monster played by Tim Curry in the TV miniseries, who takes the form of a nightmarish breast.
Is it Peter Andre?
Mm-hmm.
Tits.
Yes, tit. Point to you. Number 3, in this chilling tale, adapted twice for the movies, a group of domesticated animals trained to become priests.
Peter Andre.
Yeah.
Reverend Duck.
No. Very close.
Oh, pet. Oh, seminary.
Yes, pet seminary.
Yeah.
Okay. This is maybe his most famous work. It was adapted for the screen by Stanley Kubrick. And in it, a writer takes a job as a winter caretaker of an isolated hotel. While there, he and his family are haunted by a very timid and introverted Chandler from Friends.
The shy bee.
The
answers aren't the names of Stephen King novels.
They sound.
God damn it. Ben Partridge. They're Stephen King books, but with a bit of wordplay.
Yeah.
I see.
Stephen King didn't really write a book called Ted. He didn't.
Oh, I see.
Okay, number five. Oh, number five.
Great. I hope this never ends.
Number Say five. Cheese and
in
die.
In this 2009 book, later adapted for a three-part series on CBS, a small town in Maine has to deal with suddenly being cut off from the outside world when it's trapped under a jovial bearded garden ornament.
Under the elf.
You're so close.
Under the gnome.
Under the gnome is correct. All right. In this book, a group of children is terrorized by a monster, memorably played by Tim Curry in the TV miniseries, who takes the form of a nightmarish pimple.
Peter Andre.
Yes.
Zit.
Yes!
Yes!
Not as much of a bloodbath as you might have thought.
I finally understand this game.
Number seven, popular writer Paul Sheldon is trapped in his super fan Annie Wilkes' home after suffering an accident. She confines him to a bed and terrorizes him with trivia questions.
Fitness marshal. Quizzery.
Quizzery is correct. Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm experiencing right now.
And finally, in this book, a group of children is terrorized by a monster, memorably played by Tim Curry in the TV miniseries, who takes the form of a nightmarish real bastard of an old man.
Fitness marshal. Git.
Git is correct. Let's tabulate them scores.
Well done, John Luke Roberts, Twings. I'm assuming.
No, it's a tie. Peter Andre's got 8. Fitness Marshall has 8.
It's on.
Ooh-wee! We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with more Troubled Waters after this.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised snow leopard.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1 or, weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
Hey there, welcome back to Troubled Waters. I am your host, Dave Holmes. With us playing are Ben Partridge and Sarah Morgan from our beloved city of London. Are you both in London?
Mm-hmm. I'm in Cardiff.
Are you?
That's London, right? That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our next round is called Christ or Carrots, playing up the centuries-long battle between Easter, the pagan spring fertility festival, and Easter, the Christian conveniently scheduled holiday. In this round, we are going to pit the two icons of the respective holidays against each other. On one side, we will have the subject of multiple stage musicals, an Anne Rice novel, at least one version of the Bible, Jesus Christ. On the other, we will have a being of mass destruction, at least according to the historical film work of Monty Python, the Bunny. I'm going to give you a list of actors and ask you to guess if they've played Jesus or a rabbit on TV or in a movie.
Excellent.
If you get the answer right, I'll give you a point. If you can name the movie or the show, you get another point. For example, if we said John Legend and you said Jesus, you get 1 point. If you also said Jesus Christ Superstar, because that is really a thing that happened on live TV on NBC, you would get another point. Okay? Quick thing. There's one extra factor here. Since there's only so much time our writers can spend researching actors, even during these times, there's a chance we might have missed a role or two. So, in honor of Easter being a holiday that the church has just declared has always been theirs, if you can successfully convince me through memory or just skillful bullshit that the actor actually played Jesus or a rabbit in a different project after getting a question wrong, I will give you a point. You got it?
Got it.
Cool. Number one, James Corden.
Oh, fitness marshal.
Yes.
He played Peter Rabbit in the bad cartoon.
Point to you. Oh. And actually, 2 points to you because you said Peter Rabbit. Okay. Number two, Ewan McGregor.
Peter Andre.
Yes.
I was going to say Rabbit because I think he's quite a bad casting for Jesus.
Okay. Well, he did play Jesus in Last Days in the Desert. But if you can convince me that he played a rabbit in a different movie that I maybe didn't remember.
Yes. Well, what you won't remember maybe is that because it was overshadowed by Trainspotting, he played a heroin addicted rabbit in a very similar film that was, as I say, overshadowed by the Danny Boyle classic about a warren full of rabbits, all of them taking heroin. Have you ever seen Watership Down?
Yes.
It's like that, but even more tragic somehow.
Wow.
As if that were possible.
I believe you. Point to you. One point to you. Question number three, Justin Thoreau.
Fitness marshal.
Yes.
Rabbit.
Unfortunately, he played Jesus H. Christ in a movie called The Ten, about the Ten Commandments. Very funny movie.
Oh.
But if you want to tell me about the project that he played,
sure,
Rabbit.
No, because I know, I'm pretty certain I'm getting him mixed up with a different person in my head. So, but I'm going to think, like, follow the thread as if it's that person, which means I think he's the documentary maker Louis Theroux, who did that. It was a documentary about furries, and he dressed up as a furry to fit in, but in a kind of not no judging kind of way. It was great. It was on BBC Two in the 90s. It was, yeah. Louis Theroux meets the furries and doesn't judge them was the title of the doc.
An incredible amount of detail on that bullshit answer.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Point to you.
Yeah.
Number four, Peter Capaldi.
Peter Andre. Jesus.
Unfortunately, I can't give you that because it's wrong.
Oh, no.
He played a rabbit. And as a matter of fact, in the same year, he did it twice. He was he played Rabbit in Christopher Robin, and he played Kihar in the BBC Netflix Watership Down.
But what you're forgetting...
That's two rabbits.
What you're forgetting...
Oh.
Is that
oh.
Peter Capaldi played Jesus in the movie Scottish Jesus, where Jesus is addicted to heroin.
What? Okay, I would like to see that movie.
Yeah, and the cross he has to bear is his addiction. And it's all a big metaphor.
Mm.
I give you a half a point. You a half a point.
Scottish Jesus, look at that.
Number five, Joaquin Phoenix.
Fitness marshal.
Yes.
Jesus.
He did play Jesus in Mary Magdalene. And I bet it was unbelievably self-indulgent. I'm already mad at it.
Yeah.
Number
smug
six,
as fuck.
Michael Sheen.
Fitness Marshall. Fitness Marshall.
Oh, shit. Ben.
Okay, let Ben have it. Because he's Welsh.
I want to give it to Sarah, though, because sure. I think my answer is he kind of played Jesus, but it wasn't actually Jesus.
Explain.
He was in a theatrical production that I watched called The Passion of Port Talbot, which was a big... large-scale theatrical production in which he played a Jesus-like figure called, I think, The Teacher. That was then made into a movie, footage from the theatre production. So that was what I was thinking of, but in strictly speaking, he didn't actually play Jesus at all. But then maybe he played a rabbit in something else.
That answer was all over the place, I don't mind telling you. You kind of just said everything.
Yeah.
So... because he did play a rabbit, I will give you a point.
Yeah.
And then you made up some other stuff. So another point. Why not? Okay. Bruce Willis.
Fitness marshal.
Yes.
Rabbit.
He did play a rabbit in the movie North, which was not great. But
What are all these films with Hollywood A-listers playing rabbits in that no one's ever seen?
There's a lot of DreamWorks bullshit with rabbits in.
Is that what it is?
My brain is mentally going through DreamWorks bullshit with rabbits in at the moment. Netflix filler.
That particular one was a live action movie based on a children's book by Alan Zweibel, which is a really good children's book, but apparently a really bad movie.
Okay.
Number eight, Matthew Perry.
Peter Andre.
Yeah.
I've got an image of him being a rabbit in Friends.
Ah!
Like dressing up like a rabbit.
2 points to you.
Yes,
rabbit and Friends. And finally, James McAvoy.
Oh,
fitness marshal.
Would I give up my life and follow him with 12 other men? Yes, I would. But that's beside the point.
Would you shop him to the Romans? Yes, you would.
Yeah, sure.
Would you wash his feet with your hair?
Whoa, would I?
Would you touch the holes in his hands?
Yes, I do. And answer to the follow-up question, yes.
Would you eat him in wafer form?
I will answer no further questions.
Would you go to sub-Saharan Africa to preach about him?
It's weird I haven't. Rabbit or Jesus?
Fitness marshal.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Incorrect. Rabbit in Watership Down.
Oh, no, but you're forgetting the film where he played heroin Jesus in Scotland.
There's so many heroin Jesuses.
Yeah.
It came out at the same time as Scottish Jesus. It was like the kind of Deep Impact Armageddon thing.
Yeah, it was the remake. It was like the remake of Shameless. and they did it in America. Yeah. He was in the remake of Scottish Heroin Jesus called Somewhere Non-Specific in the South. Heroin Jesus.
Well, you know what? You each get 5 points because we really did go down that would I follow James McAvoy to X, and I would. So yeah, bonus points all around in the spirit of Eastern. At the end of that round, the scores are as follows.
Ooh.
Oh my God. Peter Andre with a slight edge, 18.5 to 18. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Bye.
Welcome back to Troubled Waters. I'm your host, Dave Holmes. With us, Ben Partridge and Sarah Morgan. I'm actually not with them. They are in their own homes in a whole different country, but we're all individually in lockdown together playing Troubled Waters and moving into our final category, which is motivational speeches. Now, a few months ago, we challenged our guests to come up with their own locker room motivational speeches to get our listeners all riled up with the gusto of a Coach Taylor or a Coach James McAvoy. So today we're going to give you a slightly different challenge. Rather than look towards sports movies for inspiration, we're going to look at another genre of film, disaster films. Because no matter how scared, no matter how down and out the characters might be, there's always someone who comes along, gives them a speech, rallies them together, makes them see that victory can be achieved. Let's have a listen to the most iconic example.
And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight.
We're you know what? Let's cut that. I can't. It's too painful to listen to an actual real American at this particular time in history. So we're going to give you something that our actual listeners have said that they are struggling with during these times. We're going to ask you to deliver us a Pullman-esque speech to get them to get the shit done. These are actual dilemmas we have received. Ben, I'm going to start with you because you're in a slight lead. You have 90 seconds to make our listeners shower on a regular basis. Go.
Fellow citizens, now, this is a time when you might start letting your responsibilities slide. I understand why this might be the case. I myself haven't washed my legs in over 6 months. But it is important that you shower. Sometimes people think, maybe I'll just do my pits over the sink. Maybe I'll just get a wet wipe and run it over my ball sack. I'm here to say that is not enough. We are citizens of Britain, America, of the world. Also, I believe coronavirus multiplies on a ball sack. Sanitize those balls, sanitize those boys, and you'll get to the other side. I'll see you there, citizens. And remember, vote Boris. That was a verbatim Boris Johnson speech from only yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I was roused by it. I was not aroused by it.
Good.
But I was roused into action. Even though in the last 15 seconds I was like, he's making this up as he's going on. There was a moment where the incredible work that you did on that speech was not super evident. Sarah, your challenge, and this is one that we've gotten a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You have 90 seconds mm-hmm. to convince our listeners to either fill or empty their dishwasher. Make our listeners do the dishes. You have 90 seconds starting now.
People of this country and other countries who are listening to this, who are lucky enough to have a dishwasher in their houses, I invite you to use the time to open the door, let the steam clean your glasses, which is a good way of cleaning your glasses if you're a glasses wearer, and most importantly, before you do anything else, check your fucking privilege because you have a dishwasher. We do not have dishwashers. So even though it's slightly annoying to bend over, do your Pilates while you're down there, stretch your back out, pull out the little plasticky tray thing, have a fun conversation with your family about what order spoon, fork, knife goes, because they might disagree with you. That's quality time with your family. I'm digressing from this being a disaster movie, and what I say to you is, knives go in the knife drawer, and people who didn't empty the dishwashers are Hitler. Hitler hated dishwashers because they didn't exist in the war, and if you think about it like that, who's the real winner here? It's people with dishwashers. Vote for Boris.
Wow. Both very rousing. But truly only one of our disaster movie speakers had the guts, the balls, the clean balls. To reference Hitler, and that's Sarah Morgan. Congratulations.
Clean balls, clean glasses, full eyes,
disaster
clear heart, can't lose.
To Sarah Morgan, that means your opinion, which I've already forgotten what it was.
I mean,
oh, fitness marshal.
Watch the fitness marshal. He's fun. Move your body around. It's good for mental health.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And, you know, this is unfortunately binding. The next time you see Peter Andre, you have to touch him.
Yeah, well, it's going to be hard.
I'll lick him up and down until he says stop. That's not his song, is it? I've just remembered that was someone else's.
It isn't. But, it isn't, but it's a great song.
I will.
And I've always loved that lyric. Let me lick you up and down until you say stop.
Yeah. It's consent. It was good. It was an early consent anthem.
It's implied that there's a point at which a person wants to not be licked anymore.
Dave, trust me, there is always a point.
Also, I'm not sure that is consent, Sarah.
Okay, before we go, real quick, plug what you're doing and then plug something someone else is doing that'll get them through the quarantine. Ben, we'll start with you.
So I make a podcast called the Beef and Dairy Network Podcast, and I would appreciate it if you gave that a go and subscribed and see what you think. And something that someone else is doing, I'm really enjoying at the moment. There's a man called Marek Larwood, who is a UK comic. And every day he tries...
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Oh, great. And every day at the moment through lockdown, he tries to recreate a kind of visual arts masterwork, you know, be that the Sunflowers by Van Gogh or the Mona Lisa. But he gives himself 15 minutes and films himself. And there's something very charming about it. And it's lovely to watch, very calming.
Good, beautiful.
Good 15 minutes.
I will check that out.
Ooh.
Sarah Morgan.
Lovely. I have a podcast called The Fear Podcast, which is on hiatus at the moment, but there's three series of that you can listen to. I interview funny people about what they're scared of, which in these times is nice because it's not about what's going on at the moment. Watch a show on Sky One in this country and Peacock in the US called Intelligence. It's David Schwimmer and Nick Mohammed. I was the story producer on it. It's very funny. And it's got...
You got content on Peacock, Sarah Morgan?
I got content. I got David Schwimmer content on Peacock, baby. It's a lovely show to work on. It's very funny. It's I got to see David Schwimmer eat a Colin the Caterpillar Marks and Spencer's cake. That's the only gossip I have from set, but it's the best gossip. He did not eat the face. He let the birthday boy have it, as is tradition with a Colin the Caterpillar cake.
That's all I need to know.
Is Peacock a Quibi?
It's not on a Quibi, no.
No, it's a Peacock, which will allegedly have all of the Saturday Night Lives on it. So it's instantly indispensable. all right. Sarah Morgan, Ben Partridge, thank you so much for playing Troubled Waters. You there with the AirPods, thank you for listening. And we'll see you. We will see you next time on Troubled Waters. You've been listening to Troubled Waters with me, Dave Holmes, playing with Ben Partridge.
Hello. Goodbye.
Sarah Morgan.
Hello. Goodbye.
Our theme music is USA versus White Noise by Ladytron. Thanks to them for letting us use it. The script was written by Riley Silverman and John Luke Roberts. Our producers are Christian Duenas and Laura Swisher. Smooches!